My name is Brianna Anderson. I'm 14 years old. Today, I'm speaking with Jerry Anderson, who is my grandpa. We are recording this interview in Glendale, California. Where were you born and where did you grow up?
I was born in Los Angeles, California, and I grew up there in Los Angeles till I was about 7, and then we moved to Burbank.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about your childhood? What were you like as a child?
I had a real happy childhood. My parents weren't rich by any means, but I never wanted for anything. And I was always very small, very, very small. In fact, a big thrill of my life was when I finally was able to get a pair of Levi's that fit me when everybody else in school had Levi's. Because my waist was about 18.
Oh my God.
Want me to continue?
Yeah, what were you like as a child?
My mother said I was feisty, but I always, because I was small, I played sports and competed against guys way bigger than me, but I never really gave in. I was pretty good, and I sometimes it made the bigger guys mad because I made them look bad.
Oh. Okay. What did you like to do in your free time as a child?
Let's see. I like to, I played sports and games with the kids in the neighborhood. I read quite a bit. I particularly like to read.
Oh my God. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sports stories. I remember Bill Stern's sports stories, favorite baseball, football stories, etc. And history. I loved history.
You did? Okay. So tell me about your parents. Well, like, what were they like?
My parents were both orphans, and my dad went to school until the 7th grade. My mother went to the 8th grade. They grew up in a town called Kewaunee, Illinois, and my dad would deliver milk to my mom's house when he was about 8 years old, and my mom would sit on the front porch and wait for him when she was about 4, and she would say, "That's my fella." And then later on, of course, they got married, and my dad, during the Depression, sold advertising, was pretty successful at it, and they were married about 12 years before they had me. I was born in 1935, and
what about Kevin?
Kevin was born when I was 16, and my mom was 49 at that time. We went on a trip to, my mom, dad, and I went on a trip to Mexico, and when we got back, mom said that she was pregnant, and she said, "Yep. Your dad get romantic under the tropical moon."
Oh my God. Okay, what did you, like, you and your family like to do on your guys' free time?
Well, we had horses, and we would go to horse shows. I rode in horse shows, I rode in rodeos. When I was 16, I was a jockey in Devonshire Downs in the San Fernando Valley. I raced quarter horses. My mom put a stop to that. She said, "I don't like the company you're going to be keeping at racetracks, and you're going to go to college." So she made me quit, and I did.
Like, what was your first job as a teenager, and what did you do with the money that you earned?
Well, my first job. Well, I had to mow our lawns, the house, and do the trimming and everything. I had to do that all the time, and I got 50 cents for the front yard, 25 cents for the backyard. My first job, my dad had an automobile agency, and I cleaned cars. I would go in and clean cars, come in, make sure they look nice, etc. And I worked at a gas station for a while. When somebody would come in and wanted service, I would put air in their tires and clean their windshields, etc. My first kind of job out of that thing was I was a paper boy at the Burbank Review, and I delivered papers every day on my bicycle. And I saved the money, and I have no idea what I did with it. I spent it on what I wanted to spend it on, I suppose.
Okay. Do you remember your first kiss, and do you remember who was with and where it happened?
Well, my first kiss was when I was in junior high school. I was in a play, and the girl's name was Joanne Lockett. At this time, I was probably about 4'6". And so I...
In seventh grade?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You got to remember, I graduated from high school at 5'3" and 105 pounds.
You were 5'3" as a senior?
As a senior.
Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry. Which made it interesting because I played basketball. What'd you ask me? Oh, my first kiss.
Yeah.
That was in a play, and I guess I looked like I was doing, knew what I was doing. I certainly didn't. But my first kiss, that was with a girl named Faith Weber. And it was when we had horses, and she wanted to go horseback riding, so I took her down to the stable, and we, to get our horses, and we were in the stable, and I gave her a kiss there.
So romantic. Tell me about your prom. Like, what did you wear, and who did you go with, and, like, did you have fun or no?
Well, you really want to know about that?
Yeah.
Okay. I was madly in love with a girl when I was in high school, but you've got to remember, I was the smallest person in the whole high school. I was a quarter of an inch shorter than the smallest girl. And so I didn't have a girlfriend, but I really liked this one girl named Marilyn Burns. And she was going with a guy who was going to USC. And so that was out. So I wasn't going to go to the prom. And then Marilyn came up to me and she said that, I forget his name, wasn't going to take her to the prom, and she asked me if I'd like to go to the prom and take her to the prom, and I about fell over. I was so happy, you didn't know what to do. And so I was getting ready for that, and then she called me and she said, his name was Lombardi, his last name, that he decided to take her to the prom, and so that she couldn't go.
That's so
sad. I didn't go to the prom.
You didn't go?
No.
Oh, that's so sad. If you could go back and relive your teenage years, would you? Why or why not?
Would I what?
If you could go back and relive your teenage years, would you? Why or why not?
No, I wouldn't go back and relive any stage of my life. I enjoyed very much being a teenager and before that, and I loved going to college and all that, but I wouldn't go back. I love my life now.
Okay. What was the worst thing you ever did as a kid?
How much time do you have?
Well, we've got 35 minutes and 33 seconds.
I think the worst thing that I ever did was when we lived in Los Angeles, so I must have been about maybe 6 or 7 years old, and there was a lot of kids that lived in that neighborhood. And we decided we were going to have a dirt clod fight.
What is that?
And I had 3 or 4 guys on my side, and they had 3 or 4 guys on their side. They were older and bigger. And we were throwing dirt clods at each other, and we were losing. And we retreated into my house. My mom and dad weren't home. And the other guys followed us in and were throwing dirt clods at us in our house. And we were throwing dirt clods back inside the house.
Oh.
When my mother got home.
Oh my God.
She was not happy.
Yeah, I wouldn't think.
And I told her what had happened. And she looked at me and she said, "It looks to me like you lost."
Oh, oh, that's so sad. That's like funny.
Yeah.
That, okay.
My mom was neat.
Yeah.
She taught me a lot of lessons. Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
When I was in kindergarten, I was walking home from school, which we did at that time. I was over a mile from school, and I wouldn't walk home alone from school. And one day I was coming home, and a block away at the corner house, I don't know, the kid, I didn't know his name, he wasn't very friendly or anything, but as I walked by his yard, I saw a, like a Buck Rogers gun, I can still picture it. It was gray metal, and it, you know, it looked, had all sorts of things in it. So I said, "That's really neat." And I picked it up, and I kept it, and I took it home. And my mom saw it. She said, "Where'd you get that?" And I said, "I found it." She said, "Really, where'd you find it?" I said, "In this guy's yard." And she said, "Well, you're going to take it back right now." And I said, and she said, "And I'm walking you back." So we back walked back the sidewalk, and I was carrying this gun, and my mom didn't say anything. We got back to that house, and there was the, they had the walkway up to the house, and I looked, and I started to go up, and my mom was standing on the sidewalk, and I said, "Aren't you going to go with me?" She said, "I didn't steal the gun."
Oh, my gosh.
So I walked up by myself and did it.
How old were you?
6.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Did you ever have a nickname growing up, or do you have a nickname now, and how did you get
it? I had a nickname. Well, in the sixth grade in grammar school, the teacher would watch us play football, and I was the captain of our football team, and I did a lot of running. And she called me Twinkle Toes because I used to dodge a lot of people. That didn't last very long. Then my other nickname, which I had all through college, was Andy for Anderson.
Oh, that's, do you have one now?
Nope, just okay. Jerry.
Just Jerry?
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any funny stories people tell about you from when you were growing up? Like Kevin or?
Funny stories about me?
Yeah, that people tell.
Wow, you better put that on pause while I think about that.
So we're skipping the previous question because he can't think of one. But next question is, can you tell me the dumbest thing you've ever done in your life?
Well, I had a real, real close friend that I roomed with in college. And he had a cousin. First, his name was Chan. His cousin's name was Thad. And we became three best friends. I mean, they were friends before I ever met them, but I became their best friend. And I was working for a very large pharmaceutical company and was promoted to, I was the top salesman of the year, this whole thing, it's the largest drug company of the year, and I was promoted to a regional vice president of the Pacific Rim. I couldn't take it because I was a single parent, and I couldn't do that.
How old were you?
I was 45 years ago. I was about 38 or somewhere in there, about okay. 38 years old. And so at the same time, these two friends started a construction company down in Fallbrook and asked me to join them. And so I quit this company and went down there, and I put all of my faith into Chan. who I've lived with and had seen me through a very serious accident and everything. And we started this construction company. We were doing pretty well. And then this was in the 70s, and then there was a big financial crisis in the country, and we were building a huge road called Palomar Airport Road in San Diego County. And this company said they weren't going to pay us, which was over $1 million. And there was a lot of money for us at that time. We just started up. And Chan said that he wanted Thad to sell his property and give it to him, and he would take that money of Thad's and go and find something for he and I to do. And I said, how can you possibly do that to Thad? It doesn't make any sense to me. And he said, Thad's an engineer. He can do it. We don't have a specific degree like that. And that, the fact that I had trusted him all that time, all those years, to think that he could do that, not only to one of his best friends, but to his cousin, was a huge mistake in my judgment of character. Of course, I told Thad, and Thad didn't do it. I told him not to do it, and Chan has, the three of us were no longer friends, and Thad and I remained fast friends for the rest of his life.
Okay. Where and how did you meet Grandma?
What do you think, Karen? Okay. I had an appointment. After the construction company, I went to work. Because I was a single parent, had to take care of Brady. I couldn't be in a job. Any job I got, I said, when something comes up where he's playing a game or is anything else, I'm out of here. You've got to realize that. If you don't realize that, I'm not taking the job. Well, I got a job for a nursery company, and I was their sales manager. And I had a meeting scheduled to meet a guy at a place in San Diego in the Mission thing called the Old Ox. It was a bar restaurant type place. And so I was going to meet him, and we were going to discuss things. And I went there and got a call from him. My office did, and they called me there and said that he couldn't make it. And I was sitting there, and I was watching a football game. I was at a table. There was a TV up there, then the bar, and bar stools, and a table. And I was sitting at the table watching a football game. And these women came in, and some of them went off to the left, and this one sat right across from me. And I was watching the game, and she would had her back to the TV, and we started talking. And I really liked her and found out that she was a school teacher, and she was divorced, and she had a 2-year-old son, and she hadn't been out since she'd been divorced, and she was here with her girlfriends or teachers who said she had to go get out and go have some fun. And they were over talking to somebody else. And we really got along well, and I asked her if she'd like to go out to dinner. And she said, yeah. And she went over and told her friends she was going to go out to dinner. And they said, oh my God, you can't do that. You don't know who he is. It's the first time you can't do that. Impossible. And she said, oh, I like him. It's going to be fine. And so we left the Old Ox, went out to dinner, had a great dinner, and we started dating after that.
That's so sweet.
And our dates, a lot of times, because she had a son, and I had a son, Brady, and she had a son, Drew. Brady was in high school and in the middle of a baseball career, and he went to the batting cage a lot and almost every night. And so we decided that our dates would be we would meet at the batting cage. And that's the way our dates went for a while. And when Brady graduated from high school and got a baseball scholarship at UC Irvine, we decided to get married.
That's so cute. So did my dad and Drew get along when they first met, when you guys first started dating? Well,
you got to remember that Drew was 2 and Brady was 16.
Yeah.
And so...
But like as the years went by, like did they get along?
Well, even then, Brady thought Drew was pretty amazing. Because, you know, Brady's a big kidder. And he would tease Drew, and Drew was so smart, and a lot of times Brady teased him, and then Drew would do something, and Brady would really feel bad about it. Like, Drew didn't want to go upstairs to go to bed or do something because the lights were turned off upstairs, and he was afraid of the dark. And Brady was saying, "You got to go upstairs. You're not afraid of the dark." And then Brady went up the stairs, and there was Drew sitting in the middle of the stairs saying, "Big boys don't cry. Big boys don't cry."
Oh.
Brady felt terrible.
That's so sad. Oh, my God. Grandma, what are your thoughts on this?
That's true, right?
Oh, it's very true. Yeah. It was a hard time because Brady adored Drew, but he was a tremendous teaser. And Drew was little and had never been around that kind of thing before. And so he was scared, literally scared. Sometimes in the car on the way over there, he'd say, "I don't want to go."
Oh my God.
So it all worked out. They're best of friends now, love each other very much. And Brady really was good to him. Drew was not a tough kid. He was pretty tender and had never been around that.
Okay, back to you, Grandpa.
Let me expound on that a little bit. Drew was not a tough kid before he met Brady and I.
That's what I said. He wasn't a tough kid.
He was, and
so describe how you proposed to Grandma.
As I recall, Brady had been accepted to college, and so it was kind of a transformation of my whole life. I could start doing other things that I wanted to do, for instance. And the first thing I wanted to do was to marry Karen. And so we just discussed it, and we discussed it before, and I'd kind of put it off, and she understood, and she put it off, and then when that happened, we decided we'd get married, and we did.
Where did you propose to her?
In her house, at her house.
Did you have a ring with you, or did you just ask and then get
the ring? I did not have a ring with me. I just asked her, but I went and had a ring custom made.
Oh, nice. Okay, what is one of your favorite memories of me?
Of you?
Yeah.
I've got a lot of them.
Okay, I thought you were going to be like, there's none.
I think one of the happiest times, one of them, maybe not the happiest, but it might be, of my life was one time you came and climbed, you were about maybe 5, 6, you climbed up on my lap, put your arms around my neck, cuddled your head into my shoulder and said, "Grandpa, I love you." That was one of the happiest times of my life.
Oh, okay. How would you like to be remembered?
Well, I guess that's not my choice. I'll be remembered by people the way they want to remember me. It's who I am, and they will remember probably the good things and the bad things about me. Hope there's more good than bad.
What are you most grateful for, since it is Thanksgiving?
I'm most grateful for my family life and the love that I have for my family and that they've showed me from the time I was a little kid to the present. I think there's nothing more valuable than the love of your family.
Oh, okay, thank you, Grandpa.